through a few rapid-fire flames talks to kick off this hour of the big show. Welcome to it. Let's start with some good news, gents. Para prospects heading to Team Canada World Junior Selection Camp next month in Red Deer. 2020 first-round pick Connor Zary, 2019 first-round pick Jacob Pelche will be going to camp, and I think a decent chance that at least one of them ends up making it onto the team, as I think there's a lot of people who believe Pelche in kind of a middle six leadership, all situations role would be a really good fit for Team Canada at the World Juniors as a 19-year-old. But it opens up a really interesting question about the Flames right now. So the 2020 draft is in the books. Will, you and I worked that draft on Sportsnet 960 The Fan earlier this month, and now knowing where their prospect system lies after that draft, where do you lean for the top prospect right now on the Calgary Flames, and is the answer really easy for you?
It depends, I guess, what your own definition of prospect is. Like, to me, the top prospect in the organization is Yusuf Alimaki.
And that's why I asked if it was easy, because that's the guy for me too.
It's a home run. I don't think there's any debate on that for me. And again, I guess it depends what you, have a definition of prospect, Pete, but for me, it's a home run swing. Yusuf Alimaki is kind of way above anybody else in the organization in terms of the next one or the upcoming prospects.
Yeah, if we're counting Valimaki as a prospect, then
if you were publishing a magazine right now, Peter Klein's Future Watch, would Valimaki count as a prospect under your definition?
I would say so. Yeah, we've seen some of him in the National Hockey League, but it hasn't been a full season's worth or anything like that. So no, I would consider him. Yes. It's funny, when I was putting this together, because I knew we were going to be talking about this, I was like, okay, Valimaki for sure. And I was like, do I put Glenn Gauden? Does he count as a prospect? Like, well, dude hasn't played a minute in the NHL yet, and I'm considering him. It's weird how I kind of go back and forth on different categories or whatever. But no, Valimaki for me does count as a prospect, and because of that, Pat, I think he's the clear number one in the organization.
Yeah, right. I'm like, are we unanimous on that, Will, that he counts as a prospect? Because I'm with Klein, too.
Yeah, he counts for me. Absolutely.
So if we're unanimous there, and we don't have to go too far into Valimaki, we've talked about him and what he's doing in Finland right now. And so if we're all unanimous there, who then becomes the next guy? Or who else is in the mix is kind of that number two list? If we're publishing the Will Nault prospect list for the Calgary Flames, is it a little bit more difficult to finalize who would number two be on that list?
For sure it is. I think it's really difficult. In fact, I think it depends on, because for me anyways, you got the clear cut number one, and then it's all personal feel after that, because I think for a lot of people, you might not have watched a lot of Stockton Heat games or know a lot about these players. And so you might have different feel on the ceiling of each guy. So I do think it does get a little tougher at number two, but just because of the progression we've seen in his pro career so far, for me, the number two prospect in the organization is Glenn Gauden. Of the Stockton Heat, who was brilliant last year with 47 points in 53 games. For me, Klein, Glenn Gauden is number two on my prospect list inside the Flames organization.
And this is where it can kind of get into semantics. And that's basically what this discussion is, because I certainly think of the Flames prospects, Glenn Gauden is the closest to making the National Hockey League roster and the closest to having an impact right away. I would say for those who have the opportunity and kind of the higher ceiling, I look at former first-round pick Jacob Pelche as my next one. You see the year that he had in Moncton, the start that he is in with admittedly a very weird QMJHL season to try to figure out, but 6 points in four games, I'll take that. I just think that in terms of ceiling, Pat, he has the next highest one behind a Valimaki. Mm-hmm. So from the way that I view a prospect rankings, I go with Pelche as my number two.
It's funny, and what I like about this is that, and I'm not doing this just to be different. I really had this written down on my personal list here. The next guy for me is the guy that just got drafted in the first round. I think of all the players outside of Valimaki inside this organization right now, I think Connor Zeri has the highest ceiling. And here's why I say that. Because I think as good as Gaudin has been in the American League and even taking a look at the points he put up specifically as a 20-year-old in the Western League, I don't think anybody's projecting Gaudin to be beyond a bottom six, you know, 3-4 center in the league. And yeah. And when I remember sitting with Todd Button on the draft floor the last time that the draft was done in person in Vancouver, and I remember sitting and talking with him once the draft was done and going through the picks, and when he was projecting Pelche, what they said was, do we see Pelche being a big-time impact player? Do we see him having this really high ceiling or being a 90-point winger? No, maybe not, but what we like about him is that he projects to be a solid middle-six winger who we believe is going to get there. And so I don't think the ceiling is as high for Pelche as to what he could be in the NHL. I think the highest ceiling outside of Valimaki, the highest potential is Zeri. And I'm really interested to see what he can do in his 18-year-old season in the Western Hockey League come January. I'm really interested to see what types of steps he takes. He's probably more of a long shot to make the World Juniors as he's a year behind a guy like Pelche. But yeah, Klein, I think the highest ceiling in the organization outside of the guy we're unanimous on, or like what he could project to ultimately in the NHL, I think that's held by Zeri right now.
And it is difficult to argue that because, again, we just went through the draft process and he was someone who a lot of people were high on, including me. So you're not going to get a ton of pushback on a Zeri. For me, I think I'm looking at Pelche and I understand like middle six is where he is projecting, but I see a lot of things that he does. And even if it is just in a second or a third line role, I like a lot of the ways that he can impact. Is he going to be, like you said, is he going to be putting up QMJHL stats in the National Hockey League? Barely anyone does that. You look at the stats in the Q and it's incredible. But I do think that he's going to be one of those guys who can put up points and also impact the game in a few different ways. But no, I went back and forth. To me, there's certainly a tier there. It's Valimaki, and then I put Pelche and Zeri in the same tier, and I went back and forth on them. So, Will, I would love to have to be super hot take guy and flip my desk at my home right now because we're disagreeing on Pelche and Zeri. But I don't think there's a ton separating the two.
Yeah, and for me, the only reason I had Gaudin second was because he is the closest to the NHL, and that's kind of how I went about my first two guys on the list.
For sure.
I think Valimaki and Gaudin have the best chance of making it to the NHL, but from your, you know, in terms of projection and what his ceiling is, no, it's not going to get to the same heights as Zeri and Pelche, so I'm not going to disagree or have an issue with you guys having them second. I just went for the fact that, you know, I feel Glenn Gaudin is closer at this point to the NHL.
Just before we move on, any honorable mentions or somebody that we have missed in this conversation?
Just because I'm fascinated by the guy, Dmitry Zavgorodny for me would be pretty high on that list. And you know, 3 points in 4 KHL games already. Not a very big guy. It's not very often that seventh round picks get signed as quickly as this guy did. He tore up the Q with Rimouski. I know a lot of that was playing with the number one pick, Alexis Lafreniere, but guys, I am fascinated to see what Zavgorodny can do, and I think he's got a real good chance of making the NHL at some point.
I also put another seventh rounder in there. Zavgorodny, a seventh round pick. Klein, Dustin Wolf's a seventh round pick. He's a guy that I think needs to be kind of in this mix as well. And I'm just, he might not be in this mix, but I still have high hopes, and I'm really rooting for, and I still think there's something there with Tyler Parsons. So I'll put a couple of goalies in the conversation, too.
And while you guys were going with the seventh-round picks, I went much more chalk with a sixth-round pick. I'm intrigued to see what Matthew Phillips can do.
Yep.
I think injuries kind of shortened things for him last year, but still close to a point per game, even dealing with that. He had just an absolutely incredible last season with the Victoria Royals. First pro year, kind of figuring things out. I thought that We kind of lost a bit of development there for Matthew Phillips in that second year. I'm interested to see. I don't know if we see him with the Flames next season, but I think he's one of those guys that by the time next training camp rolls around, we're talking about him knocking on the door for an NHL spot.
Hour two of the big show is underway. That's a fun way to kick it off, as both Connor Zary and Jacob Pelche will attend World Junior Selection Camp for Team Canada. It's in Red Deer. It starts November 16th. It's the longest selection camp that we've ever seen. November 16th to December 13th, so it's essentially a month long, but with so many of these guys having not played yet this season, you can understand what Hockey Canada is trying to do. More on the World Juniors and the rest of the selection camp roster later this hour. Hour two, big show is underway. Logan Gordon on the board. We got Will Nault, Peter Klein, and my name is Pat Steinberg. We are live in our Iconic studio, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. Integrity, it's Iconic. Contact them today at iconicec.ca. Don't want to spend a ton of time on this one, guys, but we did talk yesterday about the merit of breaking up Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan. And while we were kind of on different sides, Klein and I were more against it. I'm pretty dead set against the idea if they're going to be here next year. And Will, a little more for trying out a different look and splitting those two up. That part, that disagreement or where we stand on it doesn't matter as much to the question I'm about to ask. So let's just, for the sake of conversation, say that they do come back with both guys next year. And they are on the same line. And Jeff,
I'm sending this out, guys. Call me at 2:30. No, I'm just kidding.
So, Pete, because Will's sitting this out. No, I mean, if they are on the same line and they do decide to move Elias Lindholm to center, let's just say that all these things come to fruition. And I know there's a lot of ifs, and it's definitely speculation. But what's an interesting or who's a good fit if it's not Lindholm and he's playing the middle to be with Monahan and Gaudreau on that right side? Think about that. I'll go first because the guy that popped into my head last night was Josh Levo. And I just, the reason I was thinking about it is because he, based on what I know about him, what I've seen about him, that's and seen on him, the numbers say some really nice things. Some of the underlying and possession numbers are really strong. A lot of people talking about his offensive upside, and even what he had to say about himself when he joined us earlier this week.
I like to work down low in the corners in the offensive zone. I like to pride myself on a two-way game, 200 feet, full ice. Make sure we're out of our D zone before we think about offense. I think I got a great shot that can beat any goaltender in this league and a great hockey sense.
And please don't confuse this as me saying he's going to be this guy, but I think a Lindholm light is the potential there for Levo. Good two-way game, really good shot. Works hard in the corners, all the things that Lindholm has brought to that line. Obviously, I think it's fair to say at a lower level and not at the same caliber as what Lindholm's able to do, but if you're putting them in a lot of offensively favorable situations, a guy that can shoot it, a guy that can finish, a guy that is defensively responsible, and a guy that really works hard. Klein, I thought Levo would be an interesting fit, and I'd be intrigued if they were to go with the newly signed guy on the right side of Monahan and Gaudreau.
That certainly is one of the guys who I think fits pretty well there. I like you said, a lot of the similarities in a bit more of a diet fashion to Lindholm's. But I think for me, the one that I would like to see tested out, and it's one that they've done a little bit before, but if we're going to believe in the resurgence of Sam Bennett while also not trying Sam Bennett back at center, I would like to see him on the side of Gaudreau and Monahan. I've liked how it's worked in brief times that they've done it in the past. I haven't done a deep dive on the numbers to see if it actually, if my eyes weren't deceiving me, in part because I don't really want to be proven wrong. But I think that the way that Sam can be very aggressive on the forecheck and kind of create a bit of chaos and then allow Gaudreau and Monahan to do their thing, I like that fit a little bit. And Will, I understand this is a little bit of putting your hand on the stove element that just burned you once, but I think if you're looking at maybe rewarding Sam Bennett for a strong playoff, this would be a way to do it.
Yeah, I certainly think that there's a chance that we could see it. I see Bennett more in a checking type role, though, so I don't know if that makes a ton of sense to have him on that line, but I certainly am not going to automatically shrug it off and think that's an you know, ridiculously bad idea. I love the intrigue of Levo, Pat. I'm kind of there with you, but just to give a different option and a guy that I'm also fascinated by in terms of his progression, because I also think there's some untapped offensive ability there. And I do think he can do some of the things that you like about Levo, Pat, yeah. And that's, you know, digging the puck out of the corners, working hard. And a guy that I'd like to see there just for a decent sample at some point would be Dylan Dubé. I think that's a nice fit. He's a great shooter. And again, I think in that situation, his work ethic, the way he plays, I think could be very beneficial for the likes of Monahan and Gaudreau. So Dylan Dubé would be the guy I would nominate to put in that spot.
I'd be really interested in any one of those three guys on that right side. If they even decide to move Lindholm off that right side, I'd be really interested in any one of Bennett, Dubé, or Levo getting an opportunity. And who the hell knows? I mean, until Lindholm got there to begin last season, it was kind of between Hudler and Lindholm, there were a lot of different guys who played on that line. Like we went through the Alex Chason and Joe Colburn and Sam Bennett. Like, there's been a lot of guys who have been tried there prior to Elias Lindholm getting here and after Yuri Hudler's departure from the team. Couple of texts, 960-960. Just one really on that topic. Monty to the wing with Sam centering those two. I am not in love with the idea of Monahan on the wing. I don't know. It just, we're not talking about a guy that is supremely quick. Like, we're not talking about a guy that plays a speed game. I don't know. I've always felt like Monahan's skill set is best suited, whether he's a number one center or not. I still think it's best suited for the middle. Is anybody intrigued by the idea of Monahan on the wing?
I'll just add a different element to that, or a different wing. Klein, I'm not sold on Sam Bennett down the middle. I think his best is on the wing. So, I think you're kind of making two errors there. I don't love Monahan on the wing, and I'm personally, and I could be alone on this between the three of us, but I am not in love with Sam Bennett down the middle. I really am not.
I was all the way out on Bennett down the middle until the playoffs, and I'm willing to open the door on that one a little bit. If I'm putting Sam Bennett down the middle, it's definitely in a checking role, though. That's one where I need you to graduate to a top six center spot before I'm doing that. And no, I'm not there on Monahan on the wing either. I understand it's maybe trying something different, but that one to me is change for change sake, and I'm not a fan of it.
Later on in the big show this afternoon, General Manager Brad Treliving going to join us just over an hour's time. We are going to kind of wrap up the last 3 weeks. 3:30 chat with Brad Treliving, General Manager of the Flames. And the reason why I think we're deciding to do it kind of today, and we asked for near the end of this week, we're approaching 3 weeks into free agency, and it feels like, Will, things have maybe slowed down a little bit when it comes to the Flames tweaking. And, you know, we're all wondering, and we all have kind of different confidence levels as to whether or not a big trade is perhaps in the offing. But I'm of the opinion that in terms of the tweaking, the subtractions and the additions and the free agent type of movement, I think we're probably done seeing that. I think that the large bulk, if not all of it, is probably behind them. So I thought now would be a good time to go after a guy like Brad Treliving and kind of wrap up what we've seen to this point.
Well, and you're going on vacation, Pat. You got to talk to him before you leave, right?
Well, yeah. You know, I think that he is like, I need to talk to Pat before
That's
he
right.
leaves. Let's be perfect.
Figure out what Pat's doing on vacation.
Brad, and most people, actually, I think, plan their lives around what I do. And I've accepted that.
But yeah, I think it's a nice time to talk to him. I think it's a you know, downtime in the calendar, essentially. Things, I don't want to say are on a standstill, but he's made all his depth moves. I think he is still tinkering a little bit, you know, in terms of searching for that deal. I do think he is still seeking out any change he can. But I do think a lot of his heavy lifting in this offseason is done, Pete. So it does make a lot of sense to have him on today.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Like, we are definitely at the point where in regular off seasons, it would just be kind of those tinkering on the outside types of moves. So no, I mean, anytime we get a chance to chat with the GM, I'm up for it. So I think it makes sense. And plus, I'm on mornings tomorrow, so it makes sense for me with me being here today too.
See, I think that's more important than me going on vacation.
Totally. Yeah.
Personally.
Right. Exactly.
If I'm being
Yeah, we haven't done any interviews without me on them, so I don't know how we would manage this one.